Does the average guy wear jewelry anymore? And I'm not talking about your wedding band or maybe a watch. I'm talking about, like, decorative jewelry. Guys just don't do accessories in general, right?
Yeah, it's kind of over. I mean, maybe it's an age thing for myself personally, but I used to wear bracelets. I used to wear a watch, all that stuff. My wife made me put on a watch this week, and it felt like it was 1,000 pounds.
Yeah, it's so funny because the Grammys were last night, and it's a lot about, I mean, obviously the music, but the trends that it sets. So Harry Styles opened up the Grammys, and he sang Watermelon Sugar.
Watermelon Sugar.
And he ended up winning a Grammy for Best Pop Solo Performance for the song.
But it sounds like he was singing it in a transistor radio in 1955.
If you were watching it, the way they were on stage, it was different. It wasn't like a big auditorium. It was very artsy done. But anyway, he's on the stage, and he's wearing a boa and so much jewelry. And all I kept thinking about was all these rings he had on his hands. And I know that he's a pop star, so his like level of what he can wear, he gets away with.
And his whole thing, too, is like he blurs that line, right? So it's not gender specific. He'll wear a dress on a magazine cover if he wants to. So jewelry, not
pearls,
that big of a deal. Right.
Chokers, like he does all of that. But as I'm looking at all his jewelry, I'm thinking, why don't guys wear jewelry anymore? And is it over? Like those days of like Mr. T and Rick Ross. Like
Mr. T. I'm pretty sure Rick Ross is still wearing it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, right?
Yeah.
I think if you're a hip-hop guy, there's a different set of rules. If you're an athlete, too, like if your body is really large, right? If you are like a swollen human being, you are completely ripped. If you're Terry Crews, you can wear whatever you want, right?
But yes, but in general, does the average man really wear jewelry anymore? Because I was thinking about it, because I always have this problem when it comes to my husband, when you want to get him something special for a holiday or something.
Right,
you never know what to get him. And it's so easy for guys. You just pick out a piece of jewelry and, you know, for the most part, usually...
You feel like your lady will wear it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, as a guy at this point, I'm really not wearing anything.
I remember when, Raven, you first started working here, and you had an earring, you wore that silver hoop, and I wanted to go to HR, because I thought you looked ridiculous.
I had two of them.
You were ridiculous.
I had
looking.
Two of them, one each ear, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or when guys...
I have like six earring holes.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's so like out of style now.
Well,
you don't see it.
I mean, I guess now, right. I mean, I'm not 12 anymore. I started doing them when I was like 11 or 12, and I was just like, yep, give me another one. Give me another one. Give me another one.
But it's like out. Nobody wears that. Or remember when guys used to wear like the shell necklaces because they were obsessed with Dave Matthews Band?
I was never that guy, but I do recall, something made of wood, some sort of, one of those guys that beats on a drum and be like, oh, look, come to our drum circle later. It's going to be great.
Or the bead bracelets, or the leather bracelets.
Yeah. I had leather bracelets for a minute. Yeah, I did that. And then the silver ones, right? I had that too.
Right. But it's like, is Harry Styles bringing men's jewelry back?
I doubt it.
Or do you think that we should leave jewelry kind of like out of the way for men? And would you wear a boa? Because I can't imagine my husband on his finance job Zoom meeting all of a sudden wearing a green boa.
You put me in front of a photo booth. I'll put that boa on any day of the week.
Oh.
All right. I mean, I love that. A little bit of style with it. But jewelry, not for me anymore.
As long as you don't put on those gold hoop earrings again like you used to wear like a pirate.
They were silver, thank you. Or stainless.
Gosh, they're awful.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can always call or text 1-800-330-9999. If you're sitting on your couch last night and you're watching the Grammys and you're tweeting away because you've got the power at your fingertips and you start criticizing people for who they're thanking during their acceptance speech, that's all I need to know about you.
Somebody thanked the wrong person? What happened?
No, I don't understand people. I get so confused. Like, the minute somebody does not thank God first, it was like Twitter would blow up and it would be like, but like, you don't thank your creator? How do you think you got up there? And listen, sure, absolutely, 100%.
You'd thank the big JC if you were up there. But maybe not first, but you would thank him?
Thanks, JC. Like, you think God, like, whoever your God is, and that is fine.
Yeah.
You think he
I'm glad you gave it permission to clarify here.
Yeah.
Anna says whoever you're down with is fine with her. That's good.
But do you think he's keeping tabs up there? Wait a minute.
Right.
Megan Thee Stallion. Well, no, I wasn't first.
Well, you know how it is, though. When you're trying for something, you make a lot of promises, mm-hmm. right? So whether or not you're trying to do something great, you pray to everybody that you know that's gone before you, right? And then if you find yourself in a bad situation, you pray to God, you say you'll never do it again,
right?
You'll do all those things to get through to the end. So what would it be like if you actually won those things? Like you, your whole family, they get together, they do a prayer circle for the lottery.
That's okay.
What would it be like if you won the lottery? Would you feel like you had to say that first thing?
What if you had to give an acceptance speech when you won the lottery?
Right.
Because I have a better chance of winning the lottery than I do of winning a Grammy.
That's probably true. But at that moment, you got to say to yourself, God first, right?
Well, I guess you've made promises. Thank God, right?
If you look at the percentages of how many people have gone broke after mm-hmm. winning the lottery, mm-hmm. maybe if they had an acceptance speech, it would have worked out better for them.
Okay, so top people... You think whether you win the lottery and or a Grammy and or an Oscar, which actually the nominations are coming up later this morning.
Sure.
Let's see. You have to think. Okay, yeah, I guess you got to thank God.
If you've made promises
you've
and
made
deals.
Promise.
Right.
You have to thank your parents.
Yeah, I would put them first typically, but
your children and your family and your friends.
Yes, the support group that you have, right? And then your management and the people that have helped you get to where you are at.
And you have to thank your fans.
Yeah, of course.
So that's it. Except if you win the lottery, you don't have any fans, so you don't have to thank them.
Right, because everybody hates you at that point.
Who would be the one strange person that you would thank when you were doing your acceptance speech?
Gosh, I mean, for Grammys or for lottery?
I guess it would have to be for both.
Okay, so for lottery, it's going to have to be the gas station attendant, whoever that guy is,
right?
That I've been talking to forever.
Smart.
And making promises to that if he deals me the winner, I'm going to give him something nice. So I got to thank him. All right.
That seems
fair. As far as the Grammy goes, gosh, probably Satan, because I've clearly made a deal with the other side to get that far.
You know who would be very upset with that? All the people on Twitter. They'd be like, what? You hear who he thanked? Satan. It's awful. Saturday night, we were out to dinner, and we had my toddler Dakota with us, as we always do. We take her to all the restaurants. And as I was sitting there and I was setting up her space, I was laughing to myself because I was thinking, Raven, this is one of those situations where second kid versus first kid,
right?
How things are so incredibly
setting
different.
Up her space. Was there like a pen or something you're keeping her in? What are you doing?
So the Academy of Pediatrics, I believe, recommends that children under the age of 2 should not see basically any screens ever because it like slows down. I don't know.
Development or something.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Whatever.
It's a problem.
And I remember with Hayden, my older daughter, that I was so strict. When we went to places, there was no screens. I didn't want to let her watch a whole lot of TV at home.
Yep.
Now we walked into this restaurant. I set up her iPad so she can play games. Mm-hmm. I set up an iPhone so we could have Moana streaming in the background.
So while she's playing games.
While she's playing games.
Right.
I've got two things of Play-Doh, three little Minnie Mouse action figures, two cars.
You set these up at every place that you go into that you're going to spend more than 15 minutes at.
Well, if it's a restaurant.
I mean, that's pretty elaborate.
It's so embarrassing.
Yeah.
And I look at it.
Sounds great, though, if I'm her.
Right.
I'm thinking, like, all my favorite things are in one place.
She's just, like, she's just that kid that's always, like, yelling and screaming. And you need to, like, keep her really, really occupied.
Yeah.
But if you would have rewind me 10 years ago to my daughter Hayden.
You would have said no way.
Never in a million years would I allow this.
Trying to think as a grown man how happy I would be if every time we walked into a place that we were going to sit down and eat, my wife would set up my favorite television show, my favorite game to play, and my favorite like friends around me.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds awesome.
But I think that just happens when you have the second kid, the second time around. All of a sudden, all those rules that were so important with your first child,
right,
out the window. No more need
for the baby Mozart playing at night, right?
No.
Any of that?
Gosh, remember that? I used to play classical music to my pregnant belly the first time with Hayden because I read that it would make them smarter, and I would hate it. I would sit there and be like, "Can't we put something else on? Like, can't we listen to Beyonce?"
Nope.
No, we have to listen to Mozart right now.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever listened to any music to my belly when I was pregnant with Dakota, my second.
And now you don't even change the channel when DaBaby comes on.
No.
Right? You let anything play.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Exposure to whatever.
I don't think I'm the only one. I think this happens with a lot of parents. You have rules for the first that you certainly don't have for the second. Whether it's through your pregnancy or after you give birth, it's a completely different ballgame.
Right.
What did you do differently with your second child that you never would have done with your first? Over the weekend, I was out to dinner with my toddler, and I immediately set up all the screens. I got the iPad going, the iPhone streaming Moana. And I thought to myself, I would never in a million years have done this with my first daughter, Hayden.
The truth is you were a better parent. At least you were more cautious.
Nah, I think it just comes with time. Like, you let those little things go. I think what you do with your second kid versus your first kid, big difference. 1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Anna and Raven. What did you do differently with the second?
The second time around, I stopped being strict about food. So I ate exactly what I wanted. I had sushi, deli meat, soft cheeses, fully caffeinated coffee. It's like everything I was so careful about the first time around, it didn't matter to me anymore.
I do the same exact thing. I can't even lie.
Your kid doesn't have an extra arm or anything?
No, she's perfectly normal.
Good. Good to know.
A little hyper, but you know.
If you like read the stuff about listeria and deli meats, which I did because I was like, this seems crazy. It's like less than 1%. Even my doctor was like, Anna, eat some ham. You'll be fine. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did you do differently with your second child?
So for our first baby, we had this baby book and like every single page was filled out. We put every moment in there that was like magical. It was super organized. It had photos and captions. For our second kid, we had another girl. We didn't even buy a book. We barely have pictures. It's so bad. And I don't even remember when she lost her first tooth.
It's so true. The first time you do everything. I have like literally so many pictures of my first daughter. And like I have a lot of Dakota, my little one, but not like I chronicled everything with Hayden versus Dakota.
Well, now they're in the iPhone, right?
Yeah.
So just don't lose that.
Well, it's like the
if
cloud.
If you lose that, you'll have no way of proving to your offspring that you actually were there.
I bought a professional camera for Hayden and took professional pictures of her every week.
Yeah, like, and then you like never use that now.
No. Now I like flip through my iPhone. I'm like, oh, I don't have a decent picture of Dakota. Not even one. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did you do differently with your second child than you did for your first?
My poor older daughter had to take everything. Like, we made her take piano lessons, tennis lessons, tutors twice a week, even though she got good grades. And then our surprise came 15 years later, my second daughter, and we don't make her do anything.
Wow. Wow. Because your first daughter reminds you of how terrible it was, right?
Oh,
that is rough.
Might be.
I thought about that the other day. When Hayden was two, she was already in dance class. I can't even imagine like signing Dakota. Like, what did I think? That she was going to learn her eight counts when she was 2 years old?
You were like, making her a ballerina. She's going to be everything that I couldn't be. Anna and Raven, what's something you did with the first kid you never did with the second?
Well, before my first son came, we had everything ready, set up at like 20 weeks, right? Second baby, it was like 36 weeks. And we said, you know, we should probably buy some diapers. The baby's room was still empty. We didn't even get furniture until he was 7 months old.
Yeah, you set up everything in advance the first time. And then the second time, you're like, nah, I'll figure it out. Like the day before, I'll just run to Walmart and grab some diapers. It'll be good.
Where am I going to shoehorn this baby in?
What do they need a crib for anyway? They're not going in that room for the first year.
Right.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did you do differently with your second child?
When I was pregnant with my first, I had like a typed out hospital birthing plan. Mm-hmm. And it was like actually in a laminated binder, like laminated in a binder. And when I got to my fourth, I didn't even bother packing a hospital bag in advance. I just was like, I'm going to wing it.
Did you say when you got to your fourth?
Yeah.
At that point, you're like, I got this down. I'll just drop it off. I'll get there real quick. They'll figure it out once I get there.
I mean, you're kind of like an honorary doctor, right? Drop yours off, deliver a couple more while you're there, pay off the whole thing in one shot.
Everything always goes wrong. Like, so I just was like, there's going to be something that I cannot prepare. So I'm just going to like, just make it happen.
Why do people wear sunglasses inside?
Because when you're cool, man, the sun shines on you everywhere, all hours of the day.
I mean, do you think that if you wear sunglasses inside, people aren't going to notice you? Like it's an invisible cloak or something like that?
The only time it really makes sense, honestly, for me is it's if you had a rough night the night before, right, and the lights feel really bright, and you just want to kind of hide from that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last night, Beyonce won more Grammys, and now she has the most Grammys of all time. She beat everybody else.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, and her daughter, Blue Ivy, won her first one at the age of 9. That was a big deal.
I'm sure.
Yeah, her and her mom won Best Music Video for Brown Skin Girl.
That's cool.
But the Grammys were long. They were really long.
Aren't they always?
They ran 3 hours and 45 minutes. Now, Beyonce and Jay-Z, they ain't got time for that.
Right. I'm going to come in, I'm going to collect mine, and then I'm getting out of here.
Right. So they were nowhere to be found. Like, they were, like, nowhere to be seen. And people didn't even know if Beyonce was going to show up, because there's a lot of controversy about the Grammys this year anyway.
Of course.
But all of a sudden, the cameras pan, and there's, like, the exit door and a table.
Yeah.
And at that table, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Yeah.
They snuck in at some random point, and they had on sunglasses.
I love the idea of the table right by the door.
Oh, so they could go in,
right?
And
like
right
you're walking
back out
in Goodfellas, and the waiter actually brings a table in over people's heads, and they put like a little centerpiece on it, and oh, here you are.
Even Megan Thee Stallion, which like she won the award with her,
yeah,
was shocked when she saw her. She's like,
yes!
Oh my God, Beyonce!
Oh girl, you made it!
I didn't see you with those sunglasses on.
Nice
I didn't even
to
know
see
it was you. Right?
And the Clark Kent disguise.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was like, if you want to go incognito somewhere, yeah, you want to sneak in. Like if you wear sunglasses, all that does is draw more attention to you.
Yeah, it's not
right?
the best, disguise. No.
No.
I think that there's certain things that you can do to blend in a little bit better, though.
Yeah, what can you do to actually be incognito besides wear sunglasses inside?
Well, let's say it's group seating, right? Like regular theater seating, not separate tables. Always go second or third row. You don't want to be in the front row,
yeah,
and you don't want to be in the back row, because anybody who's ever taken a public speaking class or anything like that knows that they tell you to focus on various points of the crowd. So when that person gets up there, they're the only people that are looking directly at you.
Okay.
So they're going to see the people in the front row. They're going to see the people in the back row. They are not going to see you 2-3 rows in.
So don't sit directly by the exit.
Yeah.
Kind of just mold in.
Just yeah, be in, but not too far. You don't want to be in the direct middle either.
Okay.
You want to be on that peripheral. Not on the outer edge, but right there next to that.
Okay.
Don't wear bright or bright colors.
Okay.
Or like a hat or sunglasses in this case.
Absolutely.
Big advice. I mean, I'm feeling like a subtle plaid like pattern.
I want to say
something that blends in.
You're Beyonce and Jay-Z,
yeah,
right? You show up, you're all made up, you've got all you're beautiful, and then you wear these sunglasses. People are gonna see you. They're
right.
gonna know it's you.
That's right.
If she rolled in there wearing Champion sweatpants and a pair of Crocs and her hair tied back, no makeup, people would be like, is that no. That ain't bae.
I mean, they might
crazy
be confused by it. At an award show, I doubt that would blend in all that well either.
Tracksuits.
You don't want to be the best looking, but you don't want to be the worst looking.
Right. You got to be somewhere in the middle.
You
got to
be somewhere in between there.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there's any after party or whatever, if you conversate, don't conversate long.
Yeah.
You got to touch and go. And if there's dancing, don't dance well. If you dance well, people see you.
You don't want to be
if
a
you're
good
just
dancer
a body out there, mm-hmm, nobody even knows.
But I'll tell you what definitely never works. When you wear sunglasses inside, unless you have some kind of eye disease that you're trying to cover up,
right?
You're not hiding from anybody. All you're doing is drawing more attention to yourself.
Doing the right thing can be really hard.
I'm a good person, yes, it's true. I'm a good person, better than you.
That's why it's time for Credit Due.
I'm a good person.
Anna and Raven.
Did you do something awesome over the weekend and no one gave you any credit? No high five, no pat on the back, no simple thank you. We'll give you the credit you deserve. Or maybe somebody did something great for you and you neglected to say thank you to them.
Mm.
You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. Raven, you know, we're doing some construction on my house, which is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it's never fun.
No, it's not. And I am useless when it comes to anything involving like a hammer or having to lift stuff or painting. Like, I don't do that kind of thing.
Right, right.
But, you know, while my husband and his friends were working on the kitchen and gutting it and remodeling it and doing all that kind of stuff, I had an important job, too.
Okay.
I had to go pick up the beer.
Oh, yeah.
I had to go pick up the pizza.
Okay, also an important job.
I had to take the order for the sandwiches.
Yep, yep.
And nobody acted like what I was doing was important.
Did you get it there in a timely fashion?
Yes.
Because here's the thing is when you come around and you place and take the order there,
yeah,
we want to see that food in like 45 minutes to an hour.
Oh,
all right.
Not
and anything
even
over that, it's a problem.
No, no, no. I was really fast.
Okay.
I took the order and then I got in my car and I went and I got it and then I immediately came home. And you know what?
What?
They just opened the beers and started drinking them and they just started eating the sandwiches and nobody was like, thanks, babe.
Wow.
I mean, I know you're sweaty and you've been working for a lot of hours.
Right.
And you're covered in dust.
Right.
And our dumpster is overflowing in the front.
I mean, but it's not that big of a kitchen, though.
I know. But you know what is big?
Right.
Their appetite for me picking up food.
And you got the food, so you should get some credit for that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Building that kitchen together.
I don't know how to sand stuff.
Building a sandwich for you.
I don't ever want to paint anything.
Yeah.
But
right.
I will go and pick you up a salami on a wedge. Because I am a good person. What did you get credit for over the weekend?
You know what? I got actually credit for it. It was my wife's 40th birthday last week. So we went out to the casino. A whole big group of us went out and had a good time. But I've got to give credit to her girlfriends and her friends there because I'm just not the one that I used to be, Anna. And come 9:30, man, I had too much. Not to say that I got tired. I'm just saying that I ingested too many adult beverages. And I had to, like, spin out and go upstairs.
You were the guy.
I was the guy.
That had to go up to the room.
I had to go up to the room.
Oh.
And it was my wife's birthday. But the rest of the girls made sure that she continued to have a good time, which is good. And thank you to the veteran individual who, after flirting with the girls for a little while, gave up his riding cart. And they were driving that all around the casino. And
weird.
Thankfully, didn't get in trouble. But
yeah.
Thank you, girls, for taking care of my wife and making sure she had fun on her 40th birthday. You definitely get credit for that. I mean, I saw the video. They nearly flipped over that car.
I mean,
that individual probably didn't realize that, you know, I mean, that car costs a good amount of money there and you shouldn't have left it to these ladies to drive.
I can't believe that you had to go up to the room.
I know.
You were the one that didn't make it for your wife's birthday party.
I mean,
night.
And you know me.
Ugh.
It's bad.
Obviously, you don't need credit when you do something great. You know, you get the self-satisfaction yourself that you did something good for others. But
on the other hand, sometimes a little acknowledgement goes a long way.
Right. And that's why we give you your credit due. 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What did you do over the weekend that you didn't get credit for?
I ran a virtual 5K for my husband because he had committed to it and then he sprained his ankle. But he felt bad taking the donations to the kids' school without actually doing the run. So I did it. I streamed it live for him. And then he made fun of my time. No, thank you. Come on.
I mean, he made fun of your time. After you've ran the race for him?
That would be it.
I guess, like, my time wasn't good enough for him. I don't know. I get it. I didn't complain about a sprained ankle.
I mean, you right. didn't even want to run a 5K.
Tell like, him if he's really a man to rub some dirt on it and get back in there.
Seriously.
We're going to give you some credit. Here you go. She didn't even want to run the virtual 5K. She didn't sign up.
I mean, who wants to?
Right. She live streamed it. Instead of being like, thanks, babe, for doing that, we raised right. some money for the kids' school. He was like, come on.
That's what you wanted to do?
Mile.
A Saturday or a Sunday morning? I mean, that sounds rough, man.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What didn't you get credit for this weekend?
Well, because of COVID, our daycare requires you to wait outside the building until the parent is done dropping off their kid inside. And there tends to be a bit of a backup during morning drop-offs. Last Friday, there was a big line of parents and a lot of their kids were restless. So I let them all go in before me and no one said thank you.
So you let all the kids basically cut you and your child in line to get ahead and not a parent even acknowledge that?
Exactly.
Well, you better give me the hand wave if you're merging onto this highway lane. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Or the head nod. Exactly.
That's right.
We'll give you your credit. Here you go.
Is there nothing worse than having to wait when you're in a hurry or you've got time constraints or whatever?
There was a woman that let me cut her in the line at Home Depot because I was holding my toddler, Dakota, and Dakota was freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me to go ahead of her. And you know what? I said thank you, but it's really nice when people help you out when you've got small kids and they know you're struggling. That is really cool.
Yeah, I mean, even if they're doing it for selfish purposes, which is my head is going to explode
right.
if you don't get
Please,
your kid
get
out of
here.
Here.
Yeah. Right. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What didn't you get credit for this weekend?
Well, I work at a pizza place, and whenever we have extra dough at the end of the night, I always make an extra pie and give it to the last order that comes in before we close. So I did it twice over the weekend for customers. Never got a thank you.
Free pizza? No one thanked you for free pizza?
Did they know? Did they understand there was an extra pizza there? Because that is terrible.
There had to be some miscommunication. Who would not thank somebody for free pizza?
Right.
No, they didn't know. I gave it to them kind of with the order. So it's on me that I didn't say it was free, but it's something that I kind of expect to get acknowledged for.
All right. Well, you know what? We'll give you your credit right now. You could always give us free pizza. Here you go.
Can't touch this.
That's what I'm telling the next customer when they don't say thanks for the free pizza.
Absolutely.
You can't touch this pizza.
Never.
This pizza's not for you. It's for people that appreciate the extra pizza. There's no person alive, by the way, that doesn't know that there's an extra pizza in their order.
How do you not say thank you for free pizza?
Yeah, you have to say, listen, this isn't mine. I didn't order two pizzas. Unless you're running out the door going, we got the free pizza. We got the free pizza, bro.
I met a secret shopper this past weekend.
Come on.
That was
their
real
job.
Those
people don't actually exist.
No. That
was
their real
job. You and I know they don't exist.
No, I thought it was a fake thing, too. I thought it was all pretend. And then I was like, oh, like, what do you do? And she was like, oh, I'm a secret shopper. And
no.
I was like, I stopped. I go, what?
Where did you meet them?
Well, it was a friend of a friend, and we were meeting for a drink during cocktail hour.
Okay.
All right, so it was, and I said to my girlfriend, I said afterwards, I go, you didn't tell me that she was a secret shopper.
So wait,
she's like, who cares?
So there's another witness that backed up the story. And she didn't get cooler because her friend is also a secret shopper?
No,
I feel like this is a lie you would tell a stranger.
No. So actually, my friend Danielle, who this is her friend, she, back in the day, she was not a secret shopper, but she was like undercover. She worked for a secret agency where they would hire her to go work at big department stores and then rat out people that were stealing.
Okay.
So Danielle didn't think it was a big deal that this friend was a secret shopper. But I thought it was so cool because I'm like, she gets paid to go rat on people for doing their job either really well or not well at all.
Do you think that it's one of those things where they're just not hiring for those jobs anymore? Because you hear about them hiring for it, or you've been selected, of course, and it's always a scam because it is a halo job. It's the thing you want. So do you feel like this friend, who's a friend of your friend, is like the granddaughter of the first secret shopper there ever was, and that's how she got the in? Because if not, I mean, if there's a way in, I'm ready to retire.
But it was one of those moments, Raven, where I was like, how many questions can I ask before I get like intrusive?
Right.
Like, how much do you get paid? Like, you can't ask people how much they get paid.
Right. How did you get hired?
How did you get hired?
Can
how
you
did
get
you
me in
this?
There? Right. Right.
Do I have to
go to college?
Right.
Anything. Right. I mean, I want to know all of it.
I kind of stepped away and I held it back, but I was curious. As soon as I got home, I started Googling, like, how much can you get paid to be a secret shopper?
Yeah.
There's some people that just have really cool jobs, like best job ever. Back in the day, before I was in radio, I used to do a lot of focus groups.
Sure.
And they were the best. I remember I went to one focus group where I got paid $150 to eat Magnum ice cream bars and talk about it.
Wait a minute.
I remember thinking, like, life doesn't get any better than me sitting in here eating this Magnum bar where you hand me an envelope of cash of $150.
I mean, they couldn't have all been that cool, though, right? Are they doing that, the focus group, in the same room where they're also doing, like, the experimental medication where they're like, you know, take these?
No.
You could be getting the placebo, or then again, you could get a growth.
I did one for lotion. I think it was Lubriderm lotion.
Okay.
I got paid, like, I think that one was like $75.
Yep.
Yeah, I did a lot of random ones, but the minute you get in media, you don't qualify anymore.
Yeah, that's true, right? Yeah. Unless you're prepared to lie.
But I can't lie, you know me. What is the best job you ever had?
Well, I mean, I think the jobs that are the best for me are the easiest ones, not necessarily the perks, because we get quite a few perks in these, but there's a bit of hustle to this. But when I was in high school, I managed a formal wear shop, like, you know, where you get tuxedos and suits and tailoring and that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And so junior and senior year, I went to more than just my proms. I went to a couple other proms, and I had, you know, friends, obviously, to those. And I delivered the most epic photos ever by making sure that every guy that was in our group had a different tuxedo. And it was like a crazy tuxedo.
That's something
fantastic in that. And that was a fun job. Plus, you know, I could just put the clothes sign on the front door whenever I wanted to, too. Going to lunch. See you later.
You had cummerbunds in every color.
You know, if there was a wedding coming, typically they had an appointment. Other than that, I could be good.
What was your best job ever? 1-800-330-9999. You could call or text. I met a woman this past weekend. She's a professional secret shopper.
I feel like that's fake.
That's real.
I can't even believe it.
When she said that, I was like, what? No, that's like, for real? Like, I thought that was always like a made up thing that you end up having to pay some kind of fee and then you never really get to do it. No, she does it for a living.
Like a mythological creature like Loch Ness or Bigfoot, right?
She goes to chain restaurants and she goes to big department stores. That's like her kind of her bread and butter. And she gets paid like a full salary to do it.
I would have been interrogating her. Yeah, I don't even know how you let her out of the room.
1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What was your best job ever?
I have the best job ever. I get paid for hanging out and drinking wine.
Where do you do that? And can I come?
I'm guessing a vineyard.
No, I'm actually a wine guy. So I bring 5 bottles of wine to your house. And we hang out and I pair them with food and I tell about the wine and then people have fun and drink. And then if they order, they order. If they don't, they don't.
So you just basically...
And you still get paid if they don't order?
No, I get paid when they order.
So that then she's just
everybody
drinking with strangers,
order.
Which is also good.
Right. We're not hosting your wine party, but that is all right.
Anna and Raven, what was the best job ever?
So I'm a barber and I love it. I've been cutting hair for 16 years and decided to just go for my license. And it's been nonstop ever since.
What do you like the most about
it? The people. I'm not one to sit here and just cut hair. I get into a conversation with some people, and I get to hear some really interesting things. Just like Anna with the Secret Shopper, I find out some pretty cool things about other people as well.
I tell more to my hairdresser than anybody else in the world.
That's
you get
true.
Me in a chair for 2 hours, I got things to say. And I don't know why I feel like I need to confess
there.
And talk to you about it.
You feel like they're the closest to you.
Yeah.
You realize they have that same relationship with every client.
Right. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Best job ever. What was it?
So I worked for this smoothie company, and it had an on-the-go, like, cart. And we got to go to all the live concerts and stuff and sell smoothies and meet all the artists.
Oh, that is dope.
That is cool.
That is dope.
Yeah.
I mean, the uniform's terrible when you're at the meet and greet with the artist for the selfie shot. But still, that's cool.
We didn't have a uniform. There was no uniform. You could wear whatever you wanted.
Oh, that makes everything so much better. It makes everything so much better. I hate uniforms so much.
And I'm leaving with 5 gallons of smoothie stuff at the end of the night. Me and my friends are getting lit on smoothies.
Anna and Raven, what was the best job ever?
So when I was 16, I worked in the produce department. And they called us watermelon girls because we would cut up the watermelon and pineapple. And all day I was able to eat fruits and vegetables. And I think it's like the healthiest I've ever been in my life.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if I like the name Watermelon Girls, though. I met a secret shopper, and I wanted to ask so many questions, but I like felt funny being like, how much money do you make? Seemed inappropriate.
Right. How do you interrogate a unicorn?
Right. 1-800-330-9999. That's a cool job, but what was your best job ever? Hey, it's Anna and Raven.
Shopping is definitely a real thing. I've been doing it for 30 years. I've been secret shopping. I love it. But my most favorite job ever was my first job ever. I worked in a bakery. Man, that was just sweet.
Literally.
Wait a minute. So 6 weeks of bakery working and then you had to get out of the bakery business?
The best job ever. They let you bring home whatever you wanted every night. So after a couple months of that, I said, yeah, this isn't going to work.
Then she gained 20 pounds and became a secret shopper.
If your restaurants, like you promised us, I will have people come to the house and like clean the rug or like do something in the house to kind of work in the house, the company. They reimburse for everything. They pay for the jobs we've done, everything.
Yeah,
wow. How do you get into that? Like, come on. Can you will us like your pass? Like, so.
Well, I can text you a couple weeks if you'd like. I can do that for you if you'd like to. Absolutely.
That would be fascinating. Yeah. I would like to learn about this.
That's... See, now we get to be secret shoppers too, Raven.
Right, but don't tell anybody else.
Anna and Raven, best job ever. What was it?
I was a live-in nanny for someone who was super famous. I won't say who it is on the air because I don't want to get in trouble. But I will say that they were an athlete. I got a monthly stipend of money to spend doing things with the kids and for myself. I never had to pay for travel or really anything for like 4 years.
Wow.
That's nice.
That is a sweet deal, like being a nanny for somebody famous.
As long as the kids are good, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, a kid, they could be evil. I've seen some movies.
You can't tell LeBron James his daughter is, like, not
a
nice.
Jerk.
Yeah, you can't do
LeBron,
that.
LeBron, your kid, he's a real jerk face.
Can you just tell me off the air who it is? Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What was the best job ever?
I worked at a golf club, and they paid me 15 cents for every golf ball I recovered from the water. I got to drive the cart that looks like a Pope Mobile with a cage, and I picked up balls that the guys would drive. And I think the old guys used to aim at me and hit me, but I loved it because it was like I was in a real-life video game.
Right, it's like raining money then, Right. It's all cash.
I always wonder what it's like to be one of those little cage golf carts when people are at the driving range and shooting at you. I get you like it. Yeah, all right, that's cool.
You want to find out? Join the Marines.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What was your best job ever?
I was an extra in TV shows and movies. They paid me $85 a day, and I just showed up on set and did background work, and all I had to do was I'd bring a few books and read, and I got to meet famous people.
It is fun. I did that for a short period in college. I was on Law & Order. I was Hot Dog Girl. That was my rise to fame, my claim to fame. Yeah. I remember I had to pretend to eat a hot dog in the background during a murder scene. It was fantastic.
For 8 hours straight, just that hot dog in your mouth.
That's like a real part.
Well, kind of. Not really, I guess.
It's a starring role in a cholesterol commercial.
Hey, it's Anna and Raven. What was your best job ever?
Ooh, okay. So I was a color expert at a high-end paint store when I was 22 years old, and I had no idea what I was doing. And women would just like come in for help to pick colors to paint their walls. And I literally just made it up as I went. But it was really fun, and I got pretty good at it. And I do think I convinced at least 7 women to paint their living rooms red.
Remember, that was a big deal at one point when you had the accent walls. You had, like, the one red wall. Mm-hmm. I had that, too.
Yeah. But I'm not even talking about accent wall. I'm talking about 4 walls.
Oh, good. Good luck reselling that house.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Tom and Hannah. Hannah, what's going on?
Tom, he has this leather jacket that is, like, really disgusting, but he loves it and wears it everywhere, but I'm telling you, it's gross. It's, like, tattered, and he looks like a total biker dude, and it's, like, outdated, and it's just disgusting. Anyway, so he thinks he looks so cool in it. Every time I've ever tried to, like, politely say, like, maybe you should wear a warmer coat or a different coat, he always responds, it's always weather for leather. I'm not kidding. I mean, I love him, but, like, this is happening. So I donated it without telling him.
Oh, no.
He's, like, really furious. He wants me to go back and get it. I care too much about him, and I love him too much to let him wear that jacket anymore.
That is a big step there.
Tom, I'm going to guess why you're upset.
Yeah, I'm pretty upset because of her just going behind my back and taking my favorite priceless jacket away from me. It's pretty rough to do to the guy.
I mean, I have probably like 4 or 5 leather jackets in a closet somewhere, Anna. There was a time where I had like 8. I had a lot.
You strike me, Raven, as the every weather for leather kind of guy.
I had a bunch of them. And I'll tell you something. I have one coat that was given to me a gift, and somebody took it and gave it away without my knowing. And I forever think of that one coat. Oh. I do.
I would throw out one of my husband's coats if I thought they were nasty, but not if I knew it meant a lot to him.
Right. It would just have to be a source of contention between the two of the rest of your life. It's clear that Hannah does not respect Tom. Now we know. At least she said it to your face after.
Yeah, but it's one of those things, too. But if he looks ridiculous, right, Hannah? Like, he really looks silly?
But that's the thing. No, I respect him enough that I don't want him to look ridiculous.
It's true.
Like, he doesn't know how bad he looks.
I think the thing she really didn't like about it is literally every time I sit down on someone's couch, I left behind little black crumbs from the jacket. I think that was the
that's an old leather jacket.
I didn't see it? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if it's actually falling apart.
We can see what our audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Hannah. You're just looking out for his best interest. It was nasty.
Yeah.
It had to go, and it's gone. And, Tom, you're going to have to get over it. But they may see Tom's side, too. You loved that gross thing. And now, Hannah, you have to go back to wherever you donated it and at least make an effort to get it back.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Tom has a leather jacket that he loved, but it was falling apart. It was nasty. And his wife, Hannah, really, really, truly could not stand it, to the point where finally she said, that's enough of this thing. And she donated it.
Without his permission.
Didn't even tell him.
I mean, that's rough, man.
Well, he would say it's always weather for leather and then wear this ugly thing everywhere they went.
Yeah, but after all that much time and all that mileage, Anna, that's like a friend, all right? You can't just give away somebody's friend. Is she going to do the same thing with the family dog when he gets too old?
I think this is a little bit different. A falling apart leather jacket. So now Tom wants her to go back and get it from where she donated it.
That's
she
right.
said, absolutely not. Like, you have to stop wearing this thing. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court. 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
I'm on her side. The jacket was too old. You got to toss it out, and she needs to buy him a new one.
I mean, I'm not against that. you know, if you hate something so much, say, all right, I'm going to buy you a new one, babe. That's it.
Right. That's not bad.
I'll buy you a new one, babe. Yep. I love you that much.
Leather jackets feel great when they fit great, but they're not great for all conditions. I had a suede jacket one time, wore that thing skiing. That was a big mistake.
Who wears a suede jacket skiing?
That's what I had available. It was the warmest thing that day.
Who still has a suede jacket?
I mean, it was like 1989.
Uh-huh. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court. Tom loved his nasty old leather coat. Loved it. Even admitted that he would go to friends' houses and he would sit on the couch and then little pieces of the leather coat would stay on the couch. He said it's always weather for leather.
That's right.
It's what I wear.
Yeah, listen, that coat probably helped him survive through rain, through sleet, right? Snow at one point or another, hot conditions, cold conditions. That coat was always there for him.
Hannah, his wife, had had enough. She had told him a million times, stop wearing that gross jacket. You're embarrassing me. Finally, when he wasn't paying attention, she donated it, got rid of it. And he wants her to go get it back. She will not.
It's like leaving a friend at a bus stop and never looking back. Come on, man.
Was she wrong to do that? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, Couples Court.
I'm on her side, but if it's falling apart, whoever she gives it to is probably going to probably bust it anyway. Because she's supposed to give stuff to someone else somewhere, you know?
See that? So now she dropped it off somewhere and they just threw it in the trash. Like an old friend didn't even get a burial. Okay.
Yeah, maybe somebody else likes really gross old jackets.
And Ann Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side. Even though she doesn't like this coat and might think it's embarrassing, just make a compromise. Don't wear it out to certain events. But when he's around people, you know, that doesn't really matter, go ahead and enjoy it.
Right. But what people if that don't matter.
But what if it's always weather for leather?
It is. Of course, it is always weather for leather, mm-hmm. right? The people that don't matter are actually your friends.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side. She had no right to do that. Sounds a little more like she was embarrassed to be with him with that coat on.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Tom, our audience agreed with you. Hannah, it just wasn't cool that you gave it away without him knowing, so you're going to have to make some kind of effort to get it back.
Oh, man, really?
Or just buy him a new one.
I mean,
I think everybody's happy if you just get him a new one.
Will he be happy with it? He won't be happy with a new one. He wants that one.
It won't be the same, to be honest with you. It won't be the same.
No, I know how it is. Like an old friend off somewhere right now. Just think to yourself that it's keeping somebody else alive on a motorcycle or something somewhere. Doing something great. It's living again.
They're cool.
That's right.
They're cool, whoever it is.
You know what? You're right, man. That is the biggest thing, is I hope whoever picked it up is cool.
I just imagine it with a giant eagle on the back, like flames shooting out of the wings.
Fly!
All right. You have a problem too, send an email at couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hey, Anna, it's Bob.
Hey, Bob. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, leave the room.
Sure, good luck, Bob.
Listen, we've got five questions here. I want to give you this money, but you have to get more right than Raven gets right. You can't tie. You have 3 seconds to answer each question. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Number one, Netflix is set to release a documentary titled The Last Blockbuster, and the film follows the story of the last 9,000 Blockbuster stores. What was Blockbuster's infamous return slogan?
Be kind, rewind.
Number two, Drew Barrymore says she has no plans to return to acting. She debuted her acting career in the movie Altered States in 1980. But it was what Spielberg movie in 1982 that made her famous?
E.T.
Number three, Matthew McConaughey is considering a run to be governor of Texas. What 1995 horror film did he co-star with Renee Zellweger about a murderer named Leatherface?
Oh, my God.
Time's up, Bob.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Number four, Beyonce became the most decorated award winner in Grammys history last night after she won her 28th award. Who hosted the Grammys last night?
No idea.
I mean, Bob, you didn't think I was going to have a Grammys question in here? Number five, J-Lo and A-Rod. First, it was reported that they broke up. Then they said it wasn't true. They're working through some things. And the rumors are saying it was over the Madison LaCroix scandal. Madison LaCroix is on what TV show?
I don't know.
Bob! Come on, Bob. Oh, Bob. Come on. Raven, let's go.
I guess I don't know my Bob Goldstein.
I guess not.
Yo.
Bob got 2 out of 5.
Oh, okay, Bob. Not so great. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Netflix is set to release a documentary titled The Last of Blockbuster. The film follows the story of the last 9,000 Blockbuster stores. What was Blockbuster's infamous return slogan?
Be kind, rewind.
That's right.
Come on, it's on every tape.
Number two, Drew Barrymore says she has no plans to return to acting. She debuted her acting career in the movie Altered States in 1980. Hmm. But it was what Spielberg movie in 1982 that made her famous?
It's E.T.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Matthew McConaughey is considering a run to be governor of Texas. What 1995 horror film did he co-star with Renee Zellweger about a murderer named Leatherface?
Leatherface's Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
That's right. Number four, Beyoncé became the most decorated award winner at the Grammys last night after she won her 28th award of all time. Mm. Who hosted the Grammys?
Trevor Noah hosted last night.
And number five, J-Lo and A-Rod. First, it was reported that they broke up. Then they said it wasn't true and that they were working through things. People say it was over the Madison LaCroix scandal. Madison LaCroix is on what TV show?
Southern Charm, and he never met her.
Yeah, but they did FaceTime, and he did slide into her DMs. I'm just saying.
I mean, what does that mean nowadays?
Mm.
Everybody's in your DMs.
Bob, I'm sorry. Raven beat you 5-2. We will get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
You sure did. I can't beat Raven.
All right, thanks, Bob. Hold on.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, brother.
Put another $100 in the jackpot tomorrow morning. Same time, you'll have your shot at $600.